Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Good morning, Key.
Morning, Max.
So, like, a real serious topic to start the show today. You just heard the sound on the wind. Alabama's Brandon Miller, who is likely to be the first college pick off the board in the NBA draft. We shall see. But, it, you know, until this broke, that seemed to have been the consensus of every player in college now. Times have changed. He'll be the first selection in the NBA draft. He played last night. He scored 41 points, including the game-winning layup in the final second of overtime. And Crimson Tide were number two. Alabama beat South Carolina 78-76. So this is after, a day after, Tuscaloosa police testified that Miller, Brandon Miller, the presumptive top college pick, brought a now former teammate, but at the time a teammate of his, the handgun used to kill a woman in January. As the details have emerged, Darius Miles, who has since been removed from the Crimson Tide men's basketball program, and Michael Lynn Davis, both those two, face capital murder charges in the death of Jamia Harris. And Brandon Miller was not charged with a crime. So we're going to get into it and try to understand this in a second. Greg Byrne, the Alabama athletic director, was on ESPN College Game Day podcast and explained how the university decided to allow Brandon Miller to continue playing, to be an active member of the roster, including playing against South Carolina. Here is Greg Byrne.
When the incident happened, it was a conversation between myself, Nate Oates, conversation with myself and the president. We have legal counsel involved for the university. We have our different offices within the university that are at least aware of it. And so we had normal conversations like we do for other issues. And that information was shared collectively. And collectively, we decided that Brandon was able to play.
Okay. That's the Alabama AD, the athletic director, on the decision. Nate Oates, the Alabama head coach, talked about Miller's actual game. Brandon Miller, who's not being charged with anything, but the fact is, did transport the gun apparently unknowingly. That's the claim. That was used in a murder. Brandon Miller had quite a game, 41 points, including the game-winning layup in the last second of overtime. Here's Nate Oates, the Alabama head coach, on Brandon Miller's approach to that actual game.
There hasn't been many games he hasn't been locked in, to be honest with you, but you just, you know, basketball kind of becomes a safe haven a little bit for some of these guys. They get on the floor, they can kind of lock into what they've done their whole lives and, you know, put some of the outside stuff that's out of their mind. So I thought Brandon did a great job really getting himself mentally prepared to play.
So Key, apparently, what has, as the facts emerge, or the facts we now have, or the statements that are now being made, it appears that Darius Miles texts Brandon Miller to bring him his gun. Brandon Miller was apparently already on the way to pick up Darius Miles. He was his ride home that night. Mm-hmm. When he gets there, the gun is apparently, and apparently Brandon Miller's unaware of this, the gun is under some clothing in the back seat. Brandon Miller's car also, apparently, accidentally blocks in Jamia Harris's car, so making it harder for them to escape, and Darius Miles and his accomplice, and Michael Lynn Davis, shoot and kill Jamea Harris. So Brandon Miller was not charged with a crime and was allowed to play. Considering the severity, the scope and severity of the investigation, do you think Miller should be playing right now?
No, I think they should have set him down and just let him go to school. Go to school, let's continue your education until we get some clarity on this entire investigation. The fact that you have a athlete on your team linked to a murder, not that he did it, not that he pulled the trigger, nothing remotely close to that. But the fact that he's linked to it, until the investigation is clear, a little more clean, understanding, I don't think he should have played. I don't at all. And I would say to the administration at the University of Alabama, the athletic director, Coach Oates, president, the board of regents, whoever, whatever it is, you have to think outside of the sport. You have to – the human life was lost. You don't have all the information, but the fact is that your athlete was in a place where murder took place. Two people that are probably going to go to jail for a very long time, and then somebody who lost their life. And then on top of that, you got to think, what if it was your child? How would you feel about allowing an athlete to play in this situation? Because he's right. Yes, there's going to be a narrative that's set. The only reason why he is playing is because he's a top player on your team and you think you have a chance to win a national title. And you want to put yourself in the best position to do that.
If he was the last guy on the bench, it's doubtful that he would be playing, in my opinion.
It's probably doubtful.
Now, on the other hand, Key, I don't think someone should essentially be punished if they are, in fact, innocent and there's a presumption of innocence. Now, you can say, well, let due process play out, but they're also not being charged. Were he charged or were he a suspect, but he's considered a cooperating witness? Now, I would like clarity.
For now.
I would like clarity on one thing. The quote, and you could, by the way, read this on ESPN.com, Jeff Borzello reporting. The quote is,
one of the things, Max, in this situation is there's a lot of information that continues to come out every single day. It's going to be something new that comes out from an investigation. And new information comes out, new opinions are formed as they continue to dig through and find out what exactly happened.
So I'd like some clarity on this point, Key, along those lines. Miles had wanted to – Darius Miles, who is the who is being charged, right, had wanted to be picked up for, quote, close to an hour before Miller made his way over and was, quote, already almost there when the text arrived. So when they say he had wanted to be picked up for almost an hour, that – I infer from that maybe that he was communicating that somehow. But where is that gap? If someone wants to be picked up for over an hour, but the text just arrived right before Miller got there. If the text arrived right before Miller got there, then it is plausible, right, that he had no idea, especially if the gun is concealed under clothing in the backseat of the car. But if there is some knowledge that if somehow it's being communicated that he is supposed to pick his teammate up for close to an hour, that would seem to say, why is it taking almost an hour to get there? Well, but the authorities who are looking into this so far, Key, are satisfied that the timeline and Miller's knowledge of when stuff was happening means he's not a suspect.
See, I'm not clear on the authorities, so to speak, because you have the detective testifying to something different, where he's saying there's communication via text.
But that it only arrived right before Miller got there.
I understand that, but I think when you're looking at it on the surface, an hour of texting going back and forth.
Or I don't know if I don't know if it's an hour of texting, but what do they mean by? I'd like just clarity on that. What do they mean by Darius Miles wanted to be picked up for over for close to an hour? How do we know that? Was he supposed to be there at that time? Was there some other form of communication reaching out to Miller saying, hey, come and pick me up? Was there some other channel of communication? Those are natural questions that people are going to wonder.
Absolutely.
Especially when then the car accidentally, as the story goes, blocks in the victim's car.
Well, I'm
right?
Sure.
It's a lot of bad coincidences.
I'm sure in the parking lot or wherever they were at, there's going to be video cameras
right.
floating around somewhere. I mean, there's video everywhere nowadays. So it'll be clear on how they were blocked in, if they were blocked in, where they were at, how the cars were positioned.
But intention may be less clear. But it is important to say there's a presumption of innocence, particularly when there is a crime and charges are brought and no charge is brought against an individual who is apparently fully cooperating with authorities. And that's when I understand why the team might play him, because this is not the last guy on the bench. This is a star player who has a future in the draft, etc.
But you got to think beyond that, though, Max.
If he didn't do any, you know, if he didn't.
But the fact that you were still, you're still, it's still an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And someone lost their life. So you have to, have a conscience as a coach and an administrator to be able to say, "What if this was my child?"
The idea that Miller received preferential treatment was addressed. You are going to hear that coming up. We're going to continue to monitor this, obviously, here on KJM ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
All right, we've been talking about this morning Brandon Miller, the presumptive top college draft pick in this upcoming NBA draft, scoring 41 points for the Crimson Tide, Alabama, winning the game with a last second in overtime layup against North Carolina, a number 2 seed Alabama. And the fact that he is not being charged, but did transport, apparently unwittingly, a gun used in a murder to a teammate who texted him that he wanted it, but apparently the text got there right before Miller arrived on the scene. And so the thought is he couldn't have had advanced knowledge, and also that the gun was under a pile of clothing in the back. In other words, Miller didn't know that he was, I'm inferring that is the reason he is not being charged, that Miller didn't know he was transporting the gun. Anyway, we discussed last segment that Greg Byrne, the Alabama athletic director, addressed this idea that Miller is getting preferential treatment. I mentioned, and Key, I think we both figured, even if you do take the point of view, it's the right thing to do to allow him to continue to play if, in fact, he is not only hasn't been found guilty, but is not even being charged and is fully cooperating. And the authorities think that he is not a suspect. You know, on the other hand, you have to wonder, if he was the last guy on the bench, would they let him play? He's not the last guy on the bench. He's the biggest star in the country. So here's Greg Byrne, the Alabama athletic director, addressing the idea that Miller is somehow receiving preferential treatment.
That's a fair narrative that people can immediately go to. What I have tried to think about this entire time is, let's do what we think is right. What I felt is that Brandon needed to be treated fairly like any other student athlete, and that's what's been driving us through that.
What do you think about that, Key? Do you want to?
Well, I don't believe he's going to be treated like every other student athlete. You just said if he was the last guy on the bench, it would be totally different, which I agree with. I just think that when you're in this type of situation, right or wrong, that it's something bigger than basketball. Whether or not he's been charged, whether he's a suspect, until the dust settles and it becomes clear, I probably, as a head coach, athletic director, president of a university, board of regents, whatever you want to call it, power at the university.
Go to class.
I would just go to class.
Right.
Let's go to class. Let's practice. Let's get treatment. Let's do those things. But until then, I'm going to remove you from participating with the team. Now, is it going to hurt my team? Probably so. But I have to live with that as the boss, as the head coach, all the other things that's involved. Because I guess for me, I've lost a daughter. You know, not to gun violence, but I still lost a daughter. And I'm thinking about the mother, the father, the family, all of those sort of things, Max. So it's hard for me to sit here and say, oh, yeah, sure, he should play. It will affect his draft status. Well, I don't think it's going to affect his draft status if he didn't play. I mean, he's a top five potential lottery pick.
As the facts come out, that's the thing that's going to affect the draft
status. That's going to affect the draft status. He can play no more games and still be a top five pick.
And if the facts continue to come out and exonerate him, then and he is never charged and he is it's fully transparent that he was an unwitting accomplice, then his draft status should be just fine.
If not,
then it wouldn't be.
Yeah. Because at the end, it's all about right now, it's all about that young man, it's all about that family. And you gotta think outside of winning games. Yes, that narrative is going to be...
The young woman who lost her life.
Yeah, the young woman who lost her life. Outside of winning games,
you
can't think about winning games. This is an opportunity for us to win the SEC and go in deep into the tournament. You can't think that. Because if something comes out later on as you get into the tournament and something comes out different, now what do?
We're going to continue to monitor the details of this as it unfolds. There is sports tonight, by the way. You ready to talk some sports? Like it's not an easy transition, but there is stuff going on. Have you said what you wanted to say about this topic?
I'm fine too,
based on what we now know. And of course, you know, the biggest thing is that Jamia Harris lost her life, right?
Yes.
You know, and that's the big important thing, and she has a mother who is grieving, and to the point where actually the mother said she's so angry that she hasn't even begun to grieve. That's the last video I saw of the mother. So, you know, of Jamia Harris's mother. So, you know, as you and I both have lost, and you've lost a child, and I've lost a brother. And so when there's nothing more painful than the loss of a close family member, nothing. So we're going to continue to monitor this situation. Meantime, Key, there is actual NBA basketball. And we're going to talk about it. There are so many storylines in the NBA right now, just in the Western Conference alone.
Do they still play NBA basketball?
What, after the All-Star game? No, I don't know what that was. That was the worst. Like
drive-by for me. I didn't even just, it's on TV. Let me keep going.
It was unbelievably bad. Unbelievably bad.
Most All-Star games, Max, are bad.
But, you know, when baseball changed it, it affects home field for the playoffs. I was
baseball's a little different though.
I was mad when they did it, but it worked.
But baseball All-Star game is different because it's really can he hit a home run? Can he strike him out? It's not the same in basketball or in football. Football obviously is violent and collisions and things of that nature.
You can't really play football. In
basketball, you going up and running up and down the court. It really okay. I'm doing it for the fans, but what else am I doing it for? What's my incentive? And doing it, baseball, when they changed it, it became somewhat like a real game, so to speak. There was something at stake.
But there used to be. All-Star games used to be competitive, like you, like in the sense that the, if your team was in the American League or National League, you rooted for them, you watched, you wanted them to win the game. Yeah, substitutions were made based on who played and not had played, but it was still a game. It resembled
the
game.
You mean
the
All-Star
baseball. All-Star baseball.
Yes, game. It's easier to but do it, that, though, because I'm striking a guy out, the guy's up at
hit.
The plate.
You're not
not getting hit. So, you're not running up and down a court.
So the games that most resemble The games of least physical contact most resemble their real selves when you play an exhibition because there's less of a risk. So baseball's the most, then basketball, then football. But the problem with this NBA All-Star game was it didn't resemble the NBA and it didn't resemble basketball.
Because you're not trying to get hurt. The guys out there are not trying to get hurt.
But so many people,
they're shooting from half court and stuff.
So many people have made the point that guys play pickup in the offseason more competitively than that. So why, when the cameras are rolling, you don't play?
Because you're in the season. In the pickup games, are a little bit different. Pickup games is me against you, and I get a chance to do my thing on you. Now, I remember when Kobe went up against Magic against Jordan in Madison Square Garden. He wanted to play it like it was pickup. Like, I got this. I'm about to do this. And everybody got mad at him.
So, right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they got mad at me in the Pro Bowl. The first, I think it was like the second quarter, because I was going 100 miles an hour, and you usually only go 100 miles an hour in the fourth quarter of the Pro Bowl back then, not in the first three quarters.
Right,
but
right.
It was my first Pro Bowl. I'm like,
the unwritten rules. You violated the unwritten rules, rookie. Mike Greenberg, Greeny on Get Up, what mentioned, I believe it was on Get Up, could have been on Greeny, which follows this show at 10 a.m., mentioned that maybe the NBA should do what Major League Baseball did once upon a time, which is, you know, have it determine home court. But I'll tell you what, Key, if the All-Star game is important to you, that'd fix it that day. You fix it that day. Maybe you say, look, it's not that serious. Don't go crazy. On the other
but
hand,
but you might have a dude in there, he got a chance.
But you know what?
In the conference. He got a chance.
But you know what? The team, all the guys, most of the players in the All-Star game, and certainly the best players, they all got a chance.
I'm not trying to help you. I'm not trying to help you.
But you're just helping them against the other conference.
No. Meaning, if I'm on your team,
right,
and you are the number one seed, and my team is in the play-in,
right,
I'm not trying to help you. I don't care about the Denver Nuggets. I'm not trying to help you at all.
Well, you might not see as much burn late in the game in that case.
If I'm the starter in the All-Star game?
You might. So you might play a few minutes and then sit down, and coach is going to put in, especially because the coach is going to be the coach of the best team, right? I gotta be honest.
Is that the way it's still done?
I'm saying you can.
You're saying do it that way, though. Like it used to be.
You can put it together in a way. Now, you might be like, yo, man, this is not that serious. Let's calm down. But the more I think about it, the more I actually like it.
Yeah, but I'm not, Max, I'm not trying to help you. Like, I play for Golden State. You play for the Clippers. Why, if I'm in the play-in and you got the number one seed, I'm trying to help you hold the number one seed and get home court advantage throughout the playoffs?
Well, no, it's just in the finals. So it's your conference helping. If you're the Warriors and the Lakers, whatever, the Clippers, you're just helping whoever comes out of the West get home court against
I'm
the East.
Not, no matter how you put it together, I'm not helping you.
All right, listen, I'll help you. My real rankings, NBA players under the most pressure to win a title, that's coming up. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, just key and me today. These rankings are brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. Here are my real rankings, Key. It's the NBA players under the most pressure to win a title. Start at five and go to one.
Number five.
The L.A. Clippers. I can't even choose. If I have to choose one player in the Clippers, I'll take Russell Westbrook. But Paul George is under pressure. Kawhi Leonard's under pressure. Kawhi, who I think a lot of people think is under the most pressure, is actually under the least on the team because he's a two-time finals MVP with two different teams.
I'll let you go ahead and go through your list, and then I'll...
Then you'll attack. So Westbrook is the dude who, in spite of a million different teams with a billion great teammates, has never won a title. Imagine what it will look like if he shows up on the Clippers and they win a championship. Boy, now you look at those three consecutive triple-double averages over the courses of full seasons, and the context will be completely different. Okay, number four.
Number four.
Joel Embiid. Look, Embiid, it's hard to imagine a guy playing better at his size than Embiid. But at a certain point, I could very easily put the Sixers front office here. At a certain point, you got to take the next step. You can't just be a tough out for the powerhouses in the conference. And I get it, that Kawhi shot in Toronto, bounced 1,000 times. If it doesn't go in, maybe the Sixers win it, but they didn't. The Bucks have won. The Celtics are favored to win this year. Embiid's got to get it done.
Number three.
Jason Tatum. Look, Tatum, you know, these things sometimes progress step by step. Tatum, oh, he could be the number one scoring option on a championship team. Oh, wait a minute. He's a two-way player. He can be one of the best players in the game. Oh, he's already one of the best players in the game. Can he be the best player in the game? Oh, my God, he made it to the final. That doesn't look like a finals MVP. Maybe if he played like one, maybe they win. Oh, he'll get him next year. And this year he looks better than ever on a team that looks better than ever. But again, are you just going to be one of the characters? Remember the original Space Jam? You know what that was really about? Is that Jordan was here and everyone else was here. And the reason that LeBron starred in the sequel is because it was the same thing. He's here and everyone's here. Does Tatum want it to be his world? Or is he going to be a character? Is he going to be one of the monstars in Giannis's world or in Luka's world or in whoever it is that starts to reel off the chips? Giannis already got one. Number two.
Number two.
KD. Look, you show up in Phoenix, you've won two championships, but both times you were parachuted into a 73-win team that had won a championship and very nearly repeated. You couldn't not win. Oh, he won finals MVP? Yeah, no kidding. You're a deadly scorer, and the defense has got to pay attention to the best shooters of all time in Steph and Clay. Of course you're going to win finals MVP. No, no, no. That didn't prove what you thought it proved, KD. Okay, fine. Watch this. I'll go to Brooklyn. The same guy LeBron did it with. Watch this. Yeah, but you didn't get it done.
Man, stop. He didn't get it done.
And we'll even bring in James Harden. Didn't get it done. Well, they didn't play together enough. I don't know the reasons. I know you're there for a bunch of years. Nothing happened. Okay. Now you're in Phoenix. And they're favored to win because you're there with Devin Booker in his prime and Chris Paul is still there and an effective player. And they have eight and they have different pieces. Man, KD's got to win it when the deck isn't completely stacked in his favor, when it's just mostly stacked in his favor. And then finally,
number one,
Nikola Jokic. Yo, Jokic is about to be likely not just a three-time MVP, three consecutive MVPs. I've never seen a disconnect between a guy who wins the MVP that many times in a row and a guy's place in basketball. When Larry Bird was doing that, he was universally considered the best player. No, what about Magic? No, Bird was considered better back then. I lived through it. I remember. You know, like, he wasn't considered maybe not a top five player. You realize Jokic is not in a lot of people's top five? He floats in and out of my top five, not my top three. But if he chips up, now he retroactively gets credit for all those MVPs. It confers a different status on the whole thing. And he immediately goes to among the very greatest players who ever lived from that one chip because of all those MVPs. So there it is. That's the pressure. What do you think, Key? Westbrook really 5, Embiid 4, Tatum 3, KD 2, Jokic 1.
There's only two people on the list that I agree with, mm-hmm. and that would be Tatum and the Joker. Mm-hmm. But not necessarily in the way you have it ranked, but on the list. The Clippers, not on the list because it's Kawhi. It's not the Clippers. It's Kawhi. Everything Kawhi did to get Paul George mm-hmm. there, sold the forum to get him there. We can win, you know, do this, do that. They bought into that. Hadn't happened. It's a lot of chips that was stacked for him to do it.
A lot of capital given up to get Paul George.
Similar to what LeBron did for AD.
Yep.
But they got the chip.
It's a good argument.
So when you look at that, then you talk about Kevin Durant to Phoenix. I'm going to use the word hating on Durant. Because he won those two chips in Golden State.
I'm just saying I'm using that word.
I'm going to use it. That's hating on him by saying he was parachuted in. He didn't have a – doesn't matter. He still got two chips.
As soon as he went to Golden State, you knew there was no way they could lose.
Okay, so what?
There was almost no way they could lose the year before.
What?
LeBron's greatest accomplishment was beating them without KD.
As far as Phoenix goes, it goes to CP3. Because CP3 is at the end. He's still a starter. He's not the eighth man on the bench. Okay. Trying to fall into a championship. He's still an important piece. Legacy's there, no question about it. But when you add a ring to that legacy, it just takes a different life of its own, right? Then you talk about Embiid. How about James Harden? How about Harden? Not Embiid. It's just on Harden. I don't want to be in Houston. Okay, I'm leaving out of Houston. I will go to Brooklyn. It didn't work out the way I needed to. I'm out of here. Y'all crazy. We crazy. Everybody crazy. Now you go to Phoenix playing good. I mean, go to Philadelphia playing good basketball. Now, if you don't do it, you might be on the move again. So those are the three that I would put in place of the other three. The Joker one, whatever. He has never played with an all-star.
No, Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray balled out in the bubble, and the Joker didn't show up to the same extent, and so they didn't advance.
I'm talking about outside the bubble in the playoffs.
Right.
Outside.
Well, he's been hurt. So, you know,
that's
a lot,
what I'm
lot
saying.
Of,
yeah, so Jamal he's been has, carrying yeah. it. Himself, well, let's see. If he gets the third MVP, I say he stays on the list. I just don't know if he's number one.
See,
I put CP3 at one.
I think most people agree with
pressure.
I think most people would have your list, and that's why I have mine. Because I think that is too it's
and then Kevin, stop with the
hold
Kevin
on, hold on, hold on. Let's look at it really.
Slander, man.
Let's
stop
look at it
me.
Really, one at a time. Chris Paul, oh, pressure on him to win. Chris Paul has upside to win. Chris Paul is no longer the Chris Paul. He's a lesser version of what he used to be. So if he wins, great. It's gravy. It's like when Jason Kidd won.
There is no.
Is he the best player on the team?
No.
Is he the second best player on the team?
No.
Don't tell me there's this pressure on the third best player. Stop.
He's Chris Paul.
Yeah, but who's the best player on the team?
It doesn't matter. He still needs that chip, that pressure.
And Westbrook doesn't?
When he goes to sleep at night,
right?
He wants to sleep good with his head on the pillow knowing that I've won a championship.
Hold up. So Chris Paul does have the pressure, who's already going to be considered an upper echelon all-time point guard. But Westbrook, who has averaged a triple-double over the course of three consecutive
seasons, and no one puts him up there, doesn't have pressure.
And by the way,
never,
Key.
Ever once in your entire broadcasting career thought that Westbrook was going to win a championship and be the leader of the team. You never, ever thought that.
That's not true.
Oh, come on, man.
When he was on the Thunder, the same year LeBron beat the Warriors, I thought he had a hell of a chance to beat the Warriors. In fact, they may have been the best team in basketball, but he and KD played small under pressure in games 6 and 7. That's why they lost. But here's the thing about Westbrook. Let me get through this thought about Westbrook.
Okay.
Chris Paul's past it. I don't know if Westbrook is past it.
We can carry it over.
Westbrook, that's a good point. Let's carry it over.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you. Which player is under the most pressure? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. It's an NBA primetime showdown between two of the NBA's best.
Embiid drives hard into the lane and flushes with two hands.
Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the Celtics storm into Philadelphia to go head-to-head with Joel Embiid, James Harden, and the 76ers. Coverage begins Saturday at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ABC. Presented by Indeed.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance.
See, it pays to have long arms.
Yeah, I can see. It's catch radius. Yeah, phone radius. So I just gave my NBA players under the most pressure to win. At 5, the Clippers, because Kawhi and Paul George for sure, I think it's actually Westbrook more than any who stands to gain from a championship and therefore has pressure. Embiid 4, Tatum 3, KD 2, Jokic 1. Now, how can KD, who has two titles, be number 2 on the list and Chris Paul's not on the list? Well, KD, when you look at the whole package as a player, man, he should be in the conversation for the greatest player who ever lived. It should be Jordan and LeBron and Kareem and KD. But the problem with KD is,
He's not finished.
Right. But in spite of being on a number of excellent teams with a bunch of great teammates, when he chipped up is when literally he couldn't not chip up. That team was so good. If you added another all-star, there was no way they were going to lose. You added one of the best players ever, there's no way they were going to lose. So it doesn't, well, he won finals MVP. Well, of course, what are you going to do about him defensively? You got to guard Steph and Klay, the two best shooters, literally the two best shooters who ever lived.
So, come on, man. It doesn't matter. Why do you discount that, though?
What do you mean, why do I discount it? Because it's not the same as, for example, LeBron James beating that Warriors team before they had KD.
You act like LeBron went to Miami and it was just LeBron.
Of course not.
He joined Miami and it was D-Wade. They brought along Chris Bosh. D-Wade was already there. Then eventually Ray Allen joined them. Come on, man.
That is like KD going to Phoenix. LeBron going to Miami is like KD going to Phoenix. It's a team that's already there and they have some talent. Obviously, Wade and Book, right? But then LeBron joins but also brings other people with him, so they have to figure it all out together. And even though they were big favorites, it wasn't like the Warriors, who were already a machine.
Yeah, one of the best teams you've ever seen.
And then you add KD.
They won the 73 games, but they lost.
Yes, in LeBron's greatest moment.
And they won a championship the year before. And you can't definitively say that if KD didn't join them, they was going to win two championships just based on their roster.
I don't think they would have. I think they probably would have split with LeBron. But the point is, when you are already at that level and then you add KD, stop it. No one is going to stop you. It's ridiculous.
We all know that. That's why one of the reasons you do go to a team that's loaded. So you can win.
And also a reason you get less credit than if the playing field is more even.
He was the best player in the two championships,
I want to get back to a point.
And then the one they lost, if he wasn't hurt against Toronto, they probably could have won that one, too.
And then, by the way, since then, he went to Brooklyn with Harden and Kyrie, won nothing, and Steph won another title.
Why do you keep harping on Brooklyn when it didn't even materialize and what get did he, put together,
okay, how
man?
How many championships
stop.
KD winning in
if it
OKC?
Wasn't for, if it
teammates.
Wasn't for him, they was young, man.
Okay, how many championships did he win in Brooklyn? So the point is,
no, there's no championship
excuse.
Win in Brooklyn, and he won, then gloss Steph, over it. Max, you're not slick.
Steph won two chips without KD. All right, before he was there and after he was there. So what KD did was join a championship team, a championship dynasty, and enhance it. That's different than making a dynasty.
But that's you making it a big deal because he won before and won after. It ain't KD sitting there going, well, I got to win one because Steph won.
I want to make a point about Westbrook.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. this is a thing about Westbrook.
But actually, you know what? I don't want you to make a point about Westbrook. I want you to grab a caller or two. That's what I want you to do.
Mike in Philly, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Key and me by ourselves this morning. What's going on?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all this morning?
Good.
I definitely want to piggyback off of everything that Max is saying. Like, I definitely agree with you. KD is under the most pressure to me. He should be number one. I feel like what you were saying about the championship and joining the winning team, he's got to do it by himself. Like, even with him joining Phoenix, I think they're still going to have the same narrative that he joined the winning team to win another championship.
Well, yes, you can't win on you're not going to win a championship on a bad team. And the Phoenix Suns are maybe the most talented team, partly because they have KD, right? Big part. But they were talented before. They were in the finals last year. What I'm saying is there is a difference between a Phoenix Suns team that lost in the finals to a better team, right? And even though they lost in the finals, but they won the year before, a 73-win machine that you add KD to. It's ridiculous. Winning a championship is supposed to say something about your ability to overcome stuff, to lead a group, to when there's a relatively level playing field, being the best player on the floor. In fact, against the Cavs, KD was not the best player on the floor. He had the best numbers in the second series against them because LeBron had no shot. He drew all the defensive attention, whereas KD didn't because there was also Steph and Klay. In fact,
so KD couldn't get his own shot up is what you're getting ready to tell me?
No. What I'm getting ready to tell you is LeBron was clearly the best player the first time they met and KD won the MVP. Clearly the best player in the series. KD was great, but LeBron was better than him.
Just because LeBron had a little bit better numbers and did some things.
He was better.
Because he was the Lone Ranger out there essentially by himself. The dude won the MVP, man.
Yeah, they gave it to him because he was on the winning team.
Oh, they gave it to him because he was on the winning team. Take another call, Max.
Hold on. Let me tell you something real quick about Westbrook.
All right, tell me something about Westbrook.
Westbrook, I suspect, is still a lot of the player he once was. I think he's closer to physically being himself than Chris Paul is, right?
Chris Paul game has slowed down some. Yeah, has become.
He's still good.
He's still good. He's probably a better floor general because he's more wise and older and things of that nature.
But he's no longer considered a top 5 or 10 player in the league, right? He used to be.
That's okay.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, him winning a championship is more like when Jason Kidd did it.
No, it's
still
not.
Good.
It's
still not. Good, but not what he once was. And Westbrook winning
was
a
Jason,
championship,
was Jason
though,
Kidd, was
might
Jason,
indicate that there's just bad
but,
fit until
but
now.
But was Jason Kidd ever considered a top 5 player in the NBA?
Yeah, he was considered more or less what Chris Paul was in his day, I would say. More or less. You might argue a little less. I don't know. Jason Kidd was a great player.
Of course he was a great player, but I don't know that he had the same
Chris Paul.
Cachet as Chris Paul.
Maybe not quite, but it was quite. In that neighborhood.
As much as Chris Paul has, his play has kind of eroded to a degree, he's still pretty damn good, Max.
Yeah, he's good.
Okay, now he's the third guy. Chris Paul is, if not, once upon a time was a face of the NBA, still is kind of commercials, all the different stuff. When you look at his generation, if he wins a championship, he goes in a select group of guards.
Yeah.
Okay, whether the numbers are the numbers, but when you put that ring on him, it takes him to a whole nother level.
Okay, let me answer that real quick, and people still want to talk about this. 888-SAY-ESPN, we're going to take your calls. Chris Paul's already, if he's not in that room, people want to put him in there anyway because we all saw what we saw.
Yeah, but I don't want to be put in. I'm just going to get the ring on my finger and walk in.
Westbrook is not there. In spite of the fact that he averaged a triple-double over 3 seasons, Big O did it in 1 year. It was a big deal when we were kids, right? He did it back in the day, we were told. Never happened again. Westbrook averaged it over 3 seasons. He puts a ring on his finger, especially when he's still more or less what he was, if he proves that. Our entire perception of him and his place in the hierarchy is going to change. Chris Paul is just like, yeah, this makes you bona fide. Go in that room. Westbrook elevates to that room. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN. More coming up.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.